Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Father, this morning, we love you, we cherish you, we worship, we adore you, we bless you. Thank you for the cross, thank you for the blood that was shed on the cross that has made us who we are today. Thank you for bringing us together again as a church family. We're here, we're excited, we're rejoicing because great are you, Lord. Thank you for your word you have in store for us this morning. I pray that you speak to our hearts, you affect our lives, and that you will not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. And somebody said, you may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. Wow. 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 What a church. Amen. Some people still want to sit at the back, isn't it? We created it so that you cannot be at the back. There's no back anywhere anymore. I'm sure some people still want to sit at the back somehow. All right. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. That is our scripture for the week. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. It's the one of the easiest scriptures of the week. If you've been a Christian for a few days, you will know that this is a very powerful scripture. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Can we have it? All right. Can you see it? You can? Can you give it to us in the real scripture? Because this is small. All right. Give us real scripture. Small. Oh, they gave me my own fan. All right. I'm blessed. All I have to do is just stand here and preach. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we're going to start. We're going to read it about 5 times. We shut our Bibles, we turn off the screen. And then, Jonathan Romeo, he didn't come. Okay, somebody else is going to say it. Kezia, get ready for scriptures this morning. All right? All right, ready? Let's go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Ah, this one, we shouldn't say it 5 times. What do you think? You should say it 2.5 times. Ready? Let's go one more time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. One more time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. All these things shall be added. One last time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Doing.
Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
That's right.
And all this shall be added unto you.
Come on now. Yeah. Atia, cook up this afternoon for the little, for the boy. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Anybody else?
Because say Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. I see some young folks at the back there.
Hey, Keisha, last one. Tell us.
Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Wonderful. Oh, give it up for that lady. Amen. So it's our scripture for the week. Remember, tomorrow we start our fast. We're fasting
prayer sessions are from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. Don't exclude yourself. 9 a.m. to 12 noon right here, and then 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here also. Every day of the week until the 31st of January. What you must do as a church member is that you should choose one day out of the week where you're going to pray an extra 3 hours. So the 4 to 7, 9 to 12, 5 to 8, we are all coming together here to pray. If you do 4 to 7, you're done with your fast. If you do 9 to 12, you're done with your fast. If you do 5 to 8, you're also done with your fast. All the fastings are fastings. Nobody's cheating anybody, isn't it? As long as you pray for 3 hours with the group in here, your fasting is considered a legal fast. All right? Now, every day of the week, somebody should choose a day. So you can choose a Monday, you can choose a Tuesday or a Thursday. Let that be your day that you pray extra 3 hours. Extra 3 hours. So if you are a 4 to 7 a.m. Slot person, it means you come to church on, let's say, on that Thursday for 4 to 7. And then you also on your own do another 3 hours during the day. On that day also, you don't break your fast until 6 p.m. So the day you choose to pray 3 extra hours, you don't break your fast after your prayer at 7 a.m. You continue till 6 p.m. Is that easy to understand? Amen. How many of us are going to fast tomorrow? The year, we have done a lot of things, Christmas time and all of that. It's time to throw off some weight, even if that is the reason why we fast. It's not the reason why we fast, but just in case you think it's weight, throw some off. Throw off some weight of sin and weight of some laziness, isn't it? And all these things shall be added unto you. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. I'm preaching about how to become a strong Christian. How you can become a strong Christian, or how to become a strong Christian. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible says that, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Am I correct? Finally, my brethren. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now remember, one of the scriptures we read, I believe it was Matthew chapter 22 verse 36, where Jesus was answering the question about which commandment is the greatest. Which commandment is the greatest? And the Bible says Jesus answered that the first and the greatest commandment is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, this year, we want to develop a stronger relationship with God. Because when you love God, it means you have a strong relationship with him. If you love somebody, it is also equal to having a strong relationship with a person. I was telling a lady yesterday, or the day before yesterday, or something like that. She was saying, oh, Reverend, you said I should say, you know, hello now and then. So this is my hello. And she says, even though it's been a while, but it's not intentional. So I said, well, take your greetings. Because anybody in your circle who is important to you has heard of you at least almost every day of this week. So don't come and make us feel like, you know, that something is not your fault and brother, there's no back anymore, so you should be careful. We'll take you to the children's service. Yeah. I'll give you communion wine. So you can be slain in the spirit until the service is over. Hallelujah. Because what happens is that when we are at fault, we normally don't accept it. We try to blame it. Oh, that's how I stay. That's this, that is that, that is that. But you realize that the things we love and the things that are precious to us, we are strong in them. Some of us are very strong in worldly music.
When it comes to worldly music, you know the latest song. I don't know the latest song artist. I don't remember the last time I even listened to worldly music. I must have passed somewhere and they were playing. In fact, I didn't even notice that it is latest. But some of you are still in church. You say you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Yet you are not strong in the Lord. You are rather strong in something else. It's true. People find themselves strong in all sorts of things, but not in the Lord. But the Bible says that you must be strong. Turn to someone and say, you must be strong in the Lord. It is very, very important to be strong in the Lord. And before I even go and teach about it, I want to just give you reason why you must be strong. See, why you must be strong. Because sometimes you may not even understand why do I have to be strong? Or what do you mean by strong? Sometimes, because of the lack of understanding, we don't even receive what we are being taught. But you see, if you understand something, your approach to it is very, very different. Why do you have to be strong? Let's start on that note. Yeah. Why is it necessary to be strong in the Lord? Oh, it's very, very necessary. Look at our defense force. It's very important that they are strong in the army. It's very important that they are strong with whatever they are into. Because the other day when Venezuela decided to shake themselves a little bit, then if you don't take care, you realize that the guns we have, they are rusted. Because we don't use them. Yeah. When you don't use your gun, you'll be surprised in the day of adversity. When you go for it, you realize that when you press the trigger, it will not trigger. Yeah, it's rusty. It's not firing. Why do we have to be strong? Why do we have to be strong? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. First John chapter 2 and verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. You are strong. You are strong. And the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You must be strong because there is a wicked one you need to overcome. And if you are not strong, and if you are not strong enough, you will not be able to overcome the wicked one. You must be strong. I say you must be strong. You see, there's a lot of wickedness in the world, you know. And when you become a Christian, automatically you become an enemy of the devil. I think that's a simple equation. That's why we are encouraged that all things work together for good. Such that even if something seemed to be going the wrong way, when you're a Christian, you have to understand that as long as you serve the Lord, it will not end that way. I mean, your destiny is not linked to, bad end. It cannot be your destiny. It should not be your destiny. It must not be your destiny. But he's wicked. The Bible says there are some entities called spiritual wickedness in high places. The wicked spirits. Lizzo. Wicked spirits. You think about it. Was it a 14-year-old girl? Was it in babies? Who gets pregnant?
with 14, 15, with her boyfriend. Both of them commit love suicide. We call it love. That's pure love. Shorty, that's what we call pure love. Try it. You see that you can feel nice. I tell you, is this love? Is this love? Is this love that I'm feeling? Wow, 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 wow. Yeah. Yeah. Look, think about it. Now, you're 14 years old. You get pregnant. I didn't read the story well. But what will make you want to commit suicide? There are spirits who will tell you some bad things. Even though you may have some loved ones around you who try to, you know, just tell you that, oh, this thing is not good. You shouldn't have done that. And where are you going with this thing here? What kind of story is this? It is not to make you feel bad. It is not to kind of to say that you are not a good person or anything. It is just to tell you that this thing that you have done is not the right thing to do. And sometimes our problem is that we are not able to separate the thing we have done from ourselves. Because there's a difference between what you have done or what you are doing and you. And most of the time, people are not able to separate the two. So once you say something, once they do something and you say it, then they say, ah, so you want to tell me that I am this. If you have somebody like that in your life, you go crazy. They make you go crazy. When you say something, then they repeat and they tell you that, oh, so you want to tell me that? No, I am telling you what I'm telling you. What you are telling me is not what I told you. Misinterpretation. So you want to tell me that I said dons or what? No, did you hear me use that word on you? I said, so why are you bringing that word up? Because what I'm trying to say, I'm trying to tell you that the thing you did is an act of foolishness. But it doesn't mean that you are a fool. No, many people, oh, it's an act of foolishness. It means you're telling me that I'm a fool, right? I didn't say that you're a fool. I said what you did was an act of foolishness. Yeah, that thing you did, when you look at it, foolishness is written all over it. Yeah. But no, you said no. But if somebody tells you that what he did was foolish, what does it mean? Does it not mean that you are also a fool? No. Some people can wrestle with such a thing. You must understand that sometimes when you are corrected or you are being rebuked, it's not that the person doesn't love you. The person is trying to tell you that the thing that you have done, it is a sign of something very bad. And therefore, you should take note of it and then move away from it. Because the thing and you can be two separate things if you want it to. If you don't want it to, then it can be together. So when these young people are corrected, then what poison did they drink? Did they go to Caribbean Chemicals again? They hang themselves. Yeah. Where? They tie themselves together. Oh, sweet love. Oh. Jamila, have you read a romantic novel like that before? They tie themselves. What, Pastor Keith, what a love. And they hang themselves. So were they hugging up when they died? Their hands were tied together. What's the sign of it? Foolishness. It's an act of foolishness. You must be able to overcome the wicked one. But you see, the wicked one, you will not be able to overcome him if you are not strong. You watch boxing. You see how they beat people up? Sometimes when they finish the boxing, somebody's face becomes like a football. You see, when you are into boxing, you have to be careful. Because they can hit you, but not your face. Let them hit your shoulder. Let them hit your chest or something. not your fancy face. Sometimes they will even break your nose. Boxers break their nose all the time. And there are people who are very, very, I mean, they may not be good fighters, but they are strong. Or they are very smart, that they stay away. You see, that was what my Tyson used to scare people with. Tyson was so wicked that when we ring the bell, round one, and he comes to you. Tyson, Mike Tyson. He comes to you like that. I mean, the ring is it's a square. It's not so big. How far are you going to run? He will be with you until he knocks you down. And when somebody applies pressure like that, I mean, it won't take you long. Round one, round two, round three, you realize that you're getting basidi, basidi, basidi. Round four, you are gone. Yeah. You're gone, round four. He will knock you out. KO like that. Bam, you are down. The Holyfield showed him that if you are strong, I am stronger. That's why he beat his ears, isn't it? You remember that story? Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Luke chapter 11, verse 21. There is a wicked one. And he's so wicked that you need to be strong to overcome the wicked one. That is why you must endeavor in 2016 to be a strong Christian. When the devil looks at you, he sees your spiritual muscles. He sees your six-pack. Even your legs are all muscular. Because if you kick him, he has to go very far. You see how Popeye looks when he drinks, he eats spinach. You see his muscles, his biceps, they grow. Calvin, you are Popeye. No, you cannot be Popeye. The stomach is too anointed for Popeye. When a strong man armed and keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. Not a weak man. A strong man. Any good you have, it is only strength that will keep the good at peace. You see, your faith, your love, your hope, your relationships, your Christian life, it is like a good. It's something that you have, something that helps you, something that encourages you, something that does something for you. Your Christian life is a very important thing. Many people don't understand that. Your Christian life is a treasure. The Bible said that the kingdom of God is like unto a treasure that a man found, and he went and he sold everything you can think of, and he came and he bought that field in the treasure, or the treasure in the field rather. So one of the most important things you have in your life as a Christian is your salvation. Now, there is somebody who is wicked who is coming for you and your salvation. You see, even at a certain point, it's not even your salvation. It's your relationships in the salvation. Because in becoming strong and all of that, you need to be, you know, you need to be kind of leaning on a few things. Right? The leaning. Like as I'm standing, it is a stage that is helping me. Even though if the stage is not there, I can still stand around and move around. The stage is giving me some help. So the stage, the pulpit, my iPad, my book, my handkerchief, my microphone, there are things that I can surround myself with that will make me strong. Now, if I don't cherish these things, and then the enemy comes and he will take these things away. And when he takes these things away, my leaning, the things that I'm leaning on, will disappear. Bishop taught us something a while ago. He said, anything that is precious to you must protect. You don't know, that's basically what we do, except that we have not sat down to think about it. Look into your life. Do you have something that is important to you? Your purse, your iPad, your jewelry. Some people go as far as to the bank to lock up their gold. They don't trust no man, but they trust that flashy, glassy building in town. Once they keep it there, it is safe. Gold, jewelry in the bank. I thought it's only money we keep there. Now, your Christian life also is that which gives you, you'd be surprised that it is, I said it is the little church thing that you do that makes you who you are. If you were to subtract those things from your life, you see how your life is going to be. I tell you. It's a good. And when you are strong, armed, you keep your palace, your goods are in peace. Your Christian life is in peace. But the Bible goes on to say in verse 22 that, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he takes from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. So it takes somebody stronger to beat a strong person. It tells you that strength is something you need to have. Because strongest, the stronger will beat the strong. The strongest will be the stronger. That's what the Bible says. You know what? Be strong. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, because this faith that you have, this faith, this hope, this love, this salvation you have, somebody who wants is wicked, it wants to come around and take it away. He's also strong. Because the Bible says he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking somebody that he may devour. Are you going to be strong? Are you going to be strong? Are you going to be strong? Yeah, some of you are strong in watching African moods. You know all their names. You are strong in Facebook. You always see your face in the book. Your phone. You know every page, every setting, everything on your phone. When you don't, you can't even find where Genesis is in the Bible. You must decide to be strong, because there's a wicked one who is coming for you. If he comes and you are not stronger, if he comes or when he comes and you are not stronger, your goods, the Bible says, he will take from you all your armor. He said, that's what sometimes happens to us. We are there and we think that we are okay until something comes. Yeah. And being strong is not just dressing nice and coming to church. That's not strength. And we'll look at all of that as we go along. Our time is up, ladies and gentlemen. Please stand to your feet. Wow. Strong. Because you need to overcome the wicked one. Wicked one. That's why we buy grills and drills. But you see, I say it all the time. And if you've been coming to church, you know. I say that we in Guyana are not serious about security. Because if you are very serious about security, your walls will be high. Yeah, your gates will be big. You have a dog who drinks high wine. And he's called Goliath. Big. You don't see the compound of the house. If you dare climb the wall, you meet Goliath in the house. That's how you surprise thieves. You don't give them a short fence or netting that when you are outside, you see what is happening. Rather, the door is the place you have grilled. No. You give them a high fence. Fortify your walls. The Bible says, if a man does not have control over his spirit, he's like a city without walls. Even the Bible recognized the effect of walls. You jump over the wall, you see. Goliath is drunk. He's looking for blood to drink. You come. You jump back. You jump and then you be like a spring. Once you land, you go back. Because the house is fortified. You thought you were strong, but you have met somebody who is stronger. May the enemy find you stronger. May the wicked one find you stronger in 2016, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for encouraging and giving us the reasons to be strong. The wicked one we know is wicked. There's no amount of words to describe how wicked he is. They encourage us that as long as we are stronger, he being strong will not be able to overcome us and take our goods and render us hopeless. Help your people as we continue in 2016 to be strong in you and in the power of your might. Thank you for speaking to us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're here this morning. You're not saved. You're not born again. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. It's a new year. You don't want to die and go to hell. Sinners die and they go to hell. Heaven is a wonderful place for people who believe in Jesus. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, your right hand lifted up. I want to pray with you. Your right hand up high. Pastor, I want to be born again. God bless you. I don't want to die and go to hell. Please pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want you to do one more thing. If you are serious, I want to ask you to come to me. Come. I want to pray for you. Come, sir. Come. I want to pray for you. Come. Come. Come for them as they come. 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 Oh, clap for them. Everett. God bless you. Come. Come here. Come. Come. Faith. How many times do you want to be born again? I belong to you. You lifted up your hand. You want to come. Come quickly. I thought I saw some hands at the back there. Lead me to the cross. It's not a joke, you know. When you die, you go to hell and you burn in the fire. You realize that it's not a joke. Lord, I'll lay me down. Bring me up myself. You have to be strong. I tell you. Close your eyes with me as we pray. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised him from the dead. I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I am born again. I have been saved from hell. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.